All right, let's chop it up now. Jordan Simone is with us. Coop is with us. The Cardinals season implodes in Los Angeles. I think that's the only way to put it. Let's start with you, Jordan. What did you see from the opening Michael Buffer, let's get ready to rumble? Like, from that point, they should have just thrown the towel in, I think. But what did you see?
Yeah, man, the Rams wanted this game, and they were the more physical team. They outplayed them in every single facet. You know, us as Cardinals fans and people that cover the Cardinals are going, you know, Kyler played bad, or, you know, they didn't look ready, or, you know, why was Kliff calling these plays? No, the Rams dominated that game from the beginning. They wanted it more. They showed up. And look, Kyler's first playoff game, and the moment was too big for him. You know, it's, I don't know if he's ever played a game as bad as he played tonight. You know, think about a kid that I don't think he lost a high school football game. He was successful in college, and this is probably one of the worst performances of his career, but it's something that he will take in and build on. I really, truly believe that this will be a huge learning moment for Kyler in his career. But yeah, I mean, the Rams deserve this. Their D-line got after him all night, and a lot of respect to Sean McVay and the game plan that those coaches came out with.
What'd you see, Coop?
Yeah, Jordan's absolutely right. The Rams dominated both lines. I mean, if you look at the Cardinals' first four possessions, they're three and out. The first play of the running play of the game for the Rams, 35 yards by Sony Michel. But I really thought that the turning point in the game came in the second quarter. The Cardinals pinned in near their own goal line, finally get a first down. Kyler Murray hits A.J. Green. I thought it was a catch, but replays clearly showed that he didn't hold on to it. Now, that's a problem that I've had with A.J. Green throughout the season. He's turning – I thought he was a more physical receiver. He turns out to be more of a finesse kind of guy. I mean, he's not any – he won't confuse anybody for Deebo Samuel, let's put it like that. But at any rate, that brought the ball back to the 2-yard line. Next play, Murray gets – trapped in the end zone and pulls a Carson Wentz-like throw, ill-advised. That's intercepted by David Long for a touchdown. So it's 21-0. So instead of it 14-0, you're at your own 24-yard line, and perhaps you can go in and score. You know, again, I just thought that was the huge turning point in the game. And I got to admit, I'm pretty disappointed in what I've seen from A.J. Green this year. And it takes me back particularly to the Green Bay game when with only 10 seconds left in the game, you're down three. I don't care if there's any miscommunication between you and Kyler Murray. You don't not turn back and look for the darn ball. Yeah. So, you know, it's just disappointing to see what happened, but the Cardinals certainly got dominated. But I thought that was definitely the turning point of the game.
Okay, so I got to jump in here, Coop. You and I are going to be on top of Simone on this one. Garo Yeprimian's throw in Super Bowl 7,
against the Redskins.
That's
absolutely
it. That was as bad a throw. Garo Yeprimian and Kyler Murray separated berths. Jordan, you're going to have to go YouTube that one, okay?
I don't know who Garo Yeprimian is. Never heard of that person.
Sounds like an impressive play. I think it was, I can't remember his first name. I think it was Bass who actually took it back for six. Yeah, that was a very bad playoff throw for sure. Matter of fact, that was a Super Bowl.
Going old school for a few minutes. Jordan Simone with us, along with Coop, breaking it down. All right, let's move this thing ahead, because I think if we just sit here and bang away on Kliff Kingsbury off of what happened in the loss to the Rams, we're missing the big picture. And from my view, guys, and let's start with you, Jordan, it's 2 years in a row this team has flamed out under Kliff Kingsbury. And you can go through injuries from my view, but there's got to be something more to it. It's going to be a narrative all offseason. It's going to be a narrative next October and November, because we've seen it 2 years in a row. You were on the field. You've been in locker rooms. What do you think is going on?
You know, I know you said don't look to injuries, but that's what I'm going to do, at least for this season. You know, now they lose five of their last six games, but it's where you lose DeAndre Hopkins, arguably, you know, one of the best receivers in the National Football League. You lose J.J. Watt, one of the leaders on that defensive side. And yeah, I mean, you said it, Brad, this team just fizzled out second year in a row. And I don't know if you could really pinpoint one thing, but from a player's point of view, the injuries are killer, right? They're killers to your locker room, because all of a sudden that one guy that was at practice every day in the locker room communicating is all of a sudden gone. He's on the IR, right? He's just in the training room getting treatment. And so it messes up the mojo a little bit, right? Now, Kyler doesn't have as much confidence in the group because his best receiver's gone. He doesn't have that guy that he can just throw it up to, who turned into AJ Green. And as Coop mentioned earlier, maybe not the guy that we all thought he was or was early in his career with Cincinnati. And so, yeah, this is going to be a real gut check for the Cardinals, right? You go to LA where you beat them earlier in the year handily, and it's a completely different team towards the end of the year in the first round of the playoffs, and they look completely unprepared. I don't know if it's so much a coaching deal. I would have liked to see them run the football more in this game early. But Kyler was holding the ball for way too long throughout the game. Just look unprepared and not ready for the moment. It's sad to see with the team that had so much talent this year.
Bruce, what do you think on Kingsbury in the second year in a row fade? What do you see?
There is something definitely there. I mean, they had two chances week 16 and 17 a year ago. And week 16 is at home against the San Francisco 49ers practice squad. And you couldn't even clinch that. So you're 0-2 last year in opportunities to clinch a playoff spot. Hey, that number jumped to 0-3 this year after Steve Kime went and added veterans like Rodney Hudson, like J.J. Watt, and James Conner.
Zach Ertz.
Yeah, I mean, he's added those elements, and you still went 0-3 in playoff clinching games. So there's something about this team. Brad, Jordan, they were 10-2, had a two-game lead over everyone in the West. You know, five games left, three at home, and you limp home the way you did, one win in those five games. Look, there is definitely something there. I don't like his play calling. I guarantee you when the Bucs play the Rams next week, Brady will get the ball out quick. They'll have a quick passing game, something like I saw that Colt McCoy did against when he was subbing in for Kyler Murray earlier this year. It just baffles me how I see Kyler do this too many times. I think early in the game, they were like 3rd-and-2, and he throws a deep fade to A.J. Green. Now, Green catches it, but he's out of bounds. I see the Cardinals going – too often with Kyler Murray for that big play on short yardage situations. Hey man, get the first down. You know.
Okay. So, but Bruce, if you're and Jordan, for both of you, the play calling of Cliff is one thing. The late season fade. Yeah, Jordan, I agree with you about injuries to a point, but at the point of attack, Steve Kime didn't do enough to build up this offensive line. He brought Rodney Hudson in. Okay. But it's really clear that if you're going to get through the Rams and the 49ers late in the season, these games in September and October don't mean much. They really don't. If you're healthy at the end of the year and you're more physical at the point of attack, the Cardinals, it was no contest up front with what the Rams are throwing at them. So I kind of lay it at the feet again of the general manager and say, yes, Steve's done a lot of good things. But clearly they're not built to compete in the NFC West late in the season. Am I wrong on this, Jordan?
No, I mean it's several things, right? It's more than just saying, hey, you know, you didn't build up the offensive line. It's more. I mean, just specifically watching the Rams game tonight, how many times did you see Kyler holding the ball for 3, 4, 5, 6 seconds, looking around, try to scramble? You've got arguably the best defensive line in the NFL with Aaron Donald and Von Miller and these guys coming off the edge.
Right.
You get rid of the ball in under 3 seconds every time. You don't have that much time. I don't care how fast you are. You'll never win a football game like that. And then you've got to run the football to keep them honest. I mean, the Rams defensive line is just rushing up the field, knowing that they're going to pass it. They got him into late or to long down and distance situations, 3rd-and-15, 3rd-and-16. How many 3rd-and-longs did we see in the first half? And so, again, I want to credit the Rams for the game plan that they had, because they made Kyler very uncomfortable early in this game, and it carried throughout. And they were more physical at the point of attack, as you mentioned. You got to go back and look at the tape and go, is this the group that can get this done in the NFC West? And if it's not, you got to adjust. But I think to a point, Kyler has to be the one to get rid of the football. You can't just play, run around the field. This isn't, you know, schoolyard. We're not playing in the backyard. This is National Football League. You've got to be on time with routes. And yeah, the third and twos throwing it up the field is just not good decision-making.
Okay. So Bruce, you've covered the Cardinals for years. You know, Michael Bidwell's propensity for changing out coaches. I'm not going to sit here tonight and talk about Cliff being let go, but it's real clear to me, knowing Michael's history, and the track record doesn't lie, a Cardinal head coach lasts about on average 3.5 years unless their name is Wisenhunt or Arians. And that's about it. So here's Cliff with 2 years in a row fizzling out. Play calling, Jordan, you've talked about it tonight. Coop, you've talked about it tonight. Bruce, what do you think Michael Bidwell is thinking? You've covered him. You've had your ups and downs with him, I'm sure, as all of us have had.
At the end of the day, I truly believe he will sit down and him and Steve Keim will talk and they'll come to the conclusion that, hey, the Cardinals are getting better. 8 wins last year. That was an improvement over the 3 the year before. 11 wins this year, another improvement. So I don't think you'll see them blow out Cliff Kingsbury after an 11-win season. They're going to point to the injuries and say, hey, we were 10-2, but we lost our best offensive playmaker in DeAndre Hopkins. So they'll make those excuses. Cliff Kingsbury will be back with the Cardinals as head coach next season. But I almost echo what Jordan was talking about. If you know you can't even run the ball against this Rams front, why don't you do those quick extended plays, pass plays? You know, you can do that short passing game because the Rams are so depleted in the back half of their secondary. The Cardinals didn't even have time to exploit that. If you could have, you know, got on the perimeter, got at the second level with some of these little, and this is one thing Brad and Jordan that I just don't understand. You have a guy in Rondale Moore who's the fastest player on this team. He's the Cardinals version of the Chiefs' Tyreek Hill. I mean, for God's sake, Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, they go deep anytime they can to Tyreek Hill. I haven't seen the Cardinals one time this season go deep to Rondale Moore. Everything's like a little wide receiver screen or get it in front of the second level. I mean, it's unbelievable. The only touchdown pass that went deep to Rondale Moore, I still remember it. It was against the Vikings. A great scramble play by Kyler Murray. He threw it downfield to Moore and went 78 yards for a touchdown. I don't understand why you would run a guy like that deep who's going to attract attention and open more things up underneath. I just think the Cardinals miscast this guy, and I hope they correct that going forward.
Okay, got to talk about Kyler Murray moving forward. Is there any question for the both of you that Kyler Murray, there should be question marks now? He's going to be going into another year. He's going to get his contract extended, as he should. Great player to watch in the regular season. Very exciting to watch. Jordan, you're right off the top. It's his first playoff game, lack of experience. But do you believe that he can get it figured out?
Yes. Yeah, I do. I don't worry about Kyler Murray. I mean, his body of work speaks for itself. And they've put more talent and athletes around him. They had a better run game with James Conner this year and Chase Edmonds battling some injuries. And so I think he's earned another year. Now, I know people are they forget things quickly and they just remember, you know, the most recent outing, and they're going to remember this one and they're going to question, you know, is he the right guy for the job? You know, he's too short. You know, he's too this. No, he's still Kyler Murray, who was an MVP candidate almost this entire season until they lose DeAndre Hopkins and go through their battles. I still think this is a unit that can get it done. And look, at the beginning of the year, All we as fans and people that cover the Cardinals wanted was for them to make the playoffs, right? If they make the playoffs, it would be great. That'd be a good season. All of a sudden they go on this 8-game win streak and they're the number one team in the NFL or whatever it was. And we expect them to win the Super Bowl, right? We expect them to beat everybody. No, this is still a young team with a young quarterback, a new kind of core nucleus and group of leaders coming together, still a young head coach. And so I, as Coop mentioned earlier, I think that they've bought themselves a year, two more years. I think the same is true for Kyler. He's bought himself some time. He's showed flashes of greatness. Now let's get him comfortable, get him another year in the system, get DeAndre back, get this offensive line shored up, and come back next year with this feeling that they have right now of loss and of you know, the pain of the end of their season. Use that in the off season, carry that through to next year. Remember that when you play.
Where are you at, Coop, on Kyler?
There's no question. Kyler Murray is a franchise quarterback. He's here with the Cardinals for the long haul. Look, if anyone who's followed the Cardinals since their inception here in 1987 have seen the type of quarterback play that we've seen from the Cardinals, save a Kurt Warner, save a Carson Palmer, hey, you're thrilled at a Kyler Murray. Hey, he brings a skill set that this organization has never, ever had before. I just think it's a matter of him getting more comfortable. I mean, I think he's made some definite progressive steps. I think being able to be more of a reader, to be able to see his progressions more and understand that. And like Jordan said, he holds on to the ball a little bit too long looking for things. I think he has to make quicker decisions once he has the ball in his hand post-snap. I think that's coming. So there's no question in my mind. Here's a guy, back-to-back years, second year, now his third year. He's a Pro Bowl quarterback. Everyone recognizes his talent. It's not even up for debate whether or not he's a franchise quarterback.
Okay, Christian Kirk's a free agent, Chandler Jones, free agency. These are all things that we're going to talk about in the offseason. I think Bruce and Jordan, both of you, talked about A.J. Green. A.J. Green made some nice plays. Do you have to look at, we've got to get better playmakers because A.J. Green didn't make all of the plays that he should have. Were we out on A.J. Green?
Hey, look, Cardinals have three free agent wide receivers. I'm not even interested in bringing back A.J. Green. Yes, I'm going to re-sign Christian Kirk. And before this tonight's game, you know, I know a lot of people were probably looking at the Cardinals need to draft a defensive lineman and be a better run stuffer. But I think the first round draft pick should be a wide receiver. I mean, this is a terrific free agent class of wide receivers coming up, but they're going to command in excess of $20 million annually. They're going to command that DeAndre Hopkins type of money, the type of free agent receivers that are out there. And so I don't think the Cardinals, knowing that they have to extend, as we talked about, a Kyler Murray, you got like a number of other key guys that you want back, including James Conner and Chase Edmonds that are free agents. So I think the Cardinals have to spend that first round pick on a wide receiver. I like Drake London an awful lot from USC. Here's a guy who's 6'5", has Velcro hands, and guess what, Brad? After the catch, he runs with some physicality. He catches with some physicality. He won't be A.J. Green. So if the Cardinals did lose DeAndre Hopkins for a game or two, if he gets hurt again, they have someone that they can really be more dependable. I think that's the route they need to go.
Jordan?
Man, first of all, I got to say it's an honor to share the screen with Coop, man. He's still got it.
Dropping
the guy's
knowledge,
not retired.
Man. Dropping
He's
knowledge.
Got it, man. He's dialed. No, I would like to see them keep A.J. Green for another year and Christian Kirk. I like this. I like the core of receivers that they got. I really want to see them shore up the offense and defensive line. I always think when you commit to just building offense and defensive line over years, that wins games more than anything. When you can run the football and protect Kyler, I think it's going to pay off dividends in the future. And so although A.J. Green has made some boneheaded moves and showed some signs of weakness, I still think he's capable of being a great receiver, but he was asked to do a lot when DeAndre Hopkins got hurt. And so I think he's better off in that third receiver role. And then Rondell Moore, as you mentioned earlier, if he can come on strong, I think they'll be solid.
Okay. So to put a bow on this, they get to the playoffs. They had a lot of injuries. They weren't experienced. That's it. It's nothing more than that. Or, wow, this roster's got some issues and Kyler just isn't ready. And Coop, you're shaking your head.
No, you think it's more than just that? Well, look, before the season, you know, I hear the Cardinal fans now, before the season, they'll say, if you told me the Cardinals would win 11 games and make the playoffs, I would have took that in a heartbeat. Well, sure you would. But the Cardinals raised the level of expectation during the season. We talked about it, 10-2. I mean, 7-0 start, 10-2 with five games left. No. Tonight, I don't care how you want to look at it, this 11-win season is a disappointment, bottom line. Absolutely, it's a disappointment. I mean, when you raise the level of expectation and you lose five of your final six games – Brad, that is not anything that you want to go into the offseason holding your head up. It's a disappointment no matter how you look at it, despite the fact that they won 11 games and won the playoffs for the first time in 6 years.
I totally agree. I'm sitting here just befuddled that when Michael Buffer said, let's get ready to rumble, then somebody should just throw in the towel in. I know, Jordan, that's demeaning towards the players on the field, but they didn't show. That's the thing that's so frustrating. From that point, the opening kick, it was over. This game was over, guys, in the second quarter.
Yeah. Look, I went to one game this year out in Glendale, and it was the Carolina Panthers game. It was a real bummer. They got blown out by about 30. And so that team showed up late in the season. The team that lost to Carolina that wasn't able to stop the run, they kept showing up towards the end of the year, and I don't know what it was. I can't pinpoint it on one thing. How do they fizzle out? Is it a coaching problem? Is it a roster problem? Is it the players? Is it the locker room? Is it the chemistry? You don't know what it is. Coop, I'll agree with you. I think it is a disappointment based on how they started, but again, they made the playoffs. They advanced, and there's a short window in the NFL of being able to get to the Super Bowl and be successful and have that roster. I think the Cardinals are just about in that window of, hey, the next 2-3 years, they better go all in like the Rams did this year and start building some talent. I don't care how they got to do it, but get excited. Steve Keim, you better put an offensive line, defensive line, get some pass rushers, get a couple receivers, do what you got to do, because this is your window right here to make a Super Bowl run over the next couple of years.
Good stuff, guys. I'll let you go off that. Appreciate chopping it up. Jordan Simone and Bruce Cooper.